Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. We want to once again thank you for listening today. We want to encourage you to go out and pick up my book and workbook entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. You can pick it up at Amazon.com, The Secret to Your Best Life, the book and the workbook. If you'd like to save a little money, you can get both the book and workbook on Kindle. Again, it's entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. And you can pick it up at Amazon.com or you can order it at any major bookstore. Pick up copies for yourself and send a copy to a family member or a friend. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you and keep you is my prayer.
Church to fast from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And we're fasting and praying for those loved ones that we have in the box. Fasting and praying for our 10 most wanted. Fasting and praying for revival in our church. Amen. Amen. So we want all Bethlehem members, really all disciples in Bethlehem, we want you to fast and pray from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. as we're praying that God would move in our church. Amen.
Amen.
Say to your neighbor, neighbor, I'm going to fast and pray, this Wednesday. Amen. You done said it in the house of the Lord now. Keep your word. Amen. September is coming in about 2 more weeks. And we do have more copies of Sister Eaton's book all around the nation and all around the world beginning in September. In this Faith Journey series, people will be reading the words of your First Lady all around the nation and all around the world. Give God a hand clap of praise. Start September, and she does have copies if you want to get a copy of this. And what is it again? How much?
$3.
Amen? Amen. So pick up your copy, and we are going to go through this on Wednesday nights in September as we go through the session there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. As always, we cast the vision before you and what we believe that God is calling us to do. And we're challenging you to get there before you get there. And I point here because that's where I believe that I am right now, by faith. And you've got to get into your place by faith. Amen? Amen. And praise the Lord. We're continuing in our Acts 1-8 initiative, a series into which throughout this series and through the book, we're going through the book of Acts. We're challenging you to share the love, which is next Sunday, is Share the Love Sunday. We're going to share it on our campus, in the city, in the nation, and around the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Bethlehem! And how are we going to share it?
By living it and giving it.
Amen. By living it and by giving it. Today, we're going to share a message entitled The Characteristics of a Growing Church. The Characteristics of a Growing Church. We're going to look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Would you please stand in reverence to the Word of God? Stand symbolically saying that I will stand on the Word of God. Say to your neighbor, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Or neighbor.
Or neighbor.
I'm going to stand on this word.
I'm going to stand on this word.
It's two slides. Let's read it on three. One, two, three.
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. And the Lord
added to their number daily those who were becoming members.
Being saved.
Okay, being saved.
Amen, and praise the Lord. Today again, we're sharing characteristics of a growing church. I want you to know this morning that a growing church should teach. I want you to know this morning that a growing church should be together. I want you to know that a growing church should talk to God. A growing church should teach. A growing church should be together. And a growing church should talk to God. We want Christians to know this morning that Christian churches should be growing churches. Amen. Christian churches should be growing churches. Amen. We're going to look at this brief video and then we'll get into the Word.
Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers.
Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles.
Were together and had all things in common.
They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need.
As they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people.
And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
Amen. And praise the Lord. We're talking this morning about characteristics of a growing church. Characteristics of a growing church. I was watching a documentary on bodybuilding. And Arnold Schwarzenegger was there, and Arnold Schwarzenegger said he sees himself as a sculptor, a human sculptor. And he said that regular artists, they work with pen and paper, but what I do is I look at my body and I see the muscles that are weak, and I do to my body what a painter would do. And he says he works the muscles that need to be worked so that they can increase. I couldn't help but to think about that when I began to think about the characteristics of a growing church. Undoubtedly this morning we're going to see some areas of our church that we are very strong in, and that the muscle is very well developed, but there may be some other things that we're going to learn this morning that the muscle may be weak, and we have to do spiritually what Arnold Schwarzenegger did physically, that we have to build that muscle for which we are weak. Which we are weak. So we're going to talk about the characteristics of growing church, and parenthetically that you have to know that anything that's alive is growing. Let me say that again. Anything that's alive is growing.
Amen.
But it seems like that church is the only place where we allow dead folk, hello somebody, to sit on the pews 10, 20, 30, 40 years and they never grow.
Oh.
Hello somebody. They're literally in the church, dead men walking, because they cuss the same as they did 20 years ago.
Oh, right.
Hello, somebody. Right. And you better not catch them in the wrong mood when they show up at church on Sunday, because they might speak in those tongues that don't need interpreting.
Right. Right.
Hello, somebody. But anything that's alive is growing. As a matter of fact, we'll be concerned about, we have a baby boy, who's 12 years old, and, and he's 1 foot tall. Hello, somebody. There's a problem there. Hello, somebody. So, but we're praying that God will speak to us, and tell us what we need to do as a church to grow. Hello, somebody.
Right.
And once again, as we started to share the love, we said that we're not trying to grow members of the church.
Right.
Hello, somebody. Because the members of the church are really the problems in the church. Because members think membership has privileges.
Right.
Hello, somebody. Right. And they don't get the mindset of someone who is saved. Paul thought of himself not as somebody who was big time. He called himself a slave. Hello, somebody.
In the book, yeah.
That's what that series Brother Harold is in. They're talking about the slavery and where it started and all of that, really all of black history. But he saw himself as a slave.
Right.
A bond servant. Hello, somebody. That's different from the mindset of most people who are standing in the pulpit preaching this morning because they want to be the bishop. Hello, somebody. Oh, they want to be the apostle. Hello, somebody. They want to be the elder. They want to be the right reverend doctor. Oh, such a muchy. Hello, somebody. And they don't have the mindset of a servant. Hello, somebody. So we in the church have to get our minds right, because we in the church, God is calling us not to make new members, but to get folks saved. And we see in this text that God, as a result of what was going on in the church, then he began to add folk who were being saved.
Right.
Hello, somebody. Folk that were being saved, not members. Hello, somebody. And we see, number one, the first characteristic of this church is that they were a church who were a teaching church.
Right.
Hello, somebody.
Right.
We love a lot of preaching. Hello, somebody. And many times preaching in our context means that somebody making a lot of noise at the end of their sermon, huffing and puffing. Hello, somebody, getting us up, shouting us happy, and we're going home. And somebody asks, what the preacher preached about this morning, and we say, I don't know what he preached, but he sure did preach. Hello, somebody. Oh no, if you didn't know what he preached, then he really didn't preach at all. Hello, somebody. If you don't know what he said, because this Acts 1:8 initiative and the Shadow Love initiative in the church is all about teaching them to obey every word. Hello, somebody. So we got to do it. Some teaching in the church. I can remember I preached my daddy's stepdaddy's eulogy, and my cousin, and I grew up in church, and she heard me preach, and she came to me after the service and said, "That's the first sermon I ever understood." Hello, somebody. And she had been in church her whole life, just like me. And she wasn't understanding nothing that was going on. Hello, somebody. Now, how can we make disciples when folk don't understand what the word is saying?
Right.
Hello, somebody. And this is why this church, God was using this church, for it says, or added to this church, folk who are being saved, it says that they were devoted, they did what? They devoted themselves to the television preachers. Hello, somebody. They devoted themselves to the right bishop. They devoted themselves to the great. Hello, somebody. No, what did they devote themselves to? The apostles' teaching.
somebody, you've got to devote yourself to the apostles' teaching. Now, what was different with the apostles' teaching than the Pharisees' teaching? Hello, somebody. Because the Pharisees had made up a lot of rules that wasn't in the book. And many times in our churches today, we have rules that's not in the book. Oh, places we can't go and places we can't touch. That's not in the book. That's not the apostles' teaching. Oh, because who the Son set free is free indeed. He's liberated. And you should be able to come in this place and feel liberated and not be afraid to turn around and to touch this and to look at that. Hello, somebody. When Jesus died, that curtain in the temple split from the top to the bottom. Hello, somebody. That meant that every man could come to him. Now, we no longer needed a priest. Hello, somebody. We no longer needed those rules and regulations. When Jesus died, he set us free. Hello, somebody. We got folk in the church that's so uptight. Hello, somebody. I know what you can't do, but what can you do? Hello, somebody. Oh, I can't look at TV. I can't listen to the radio. I can't go to the movies. I can't go to a restaurant that sells liquor. I can't. Hello, somebody.
That was real.
Hello, somebody. And that's why Jesus blew their mind. His first miracle, what did he do?
Turn water into wine.
And folks try to explain that away. Hello, somebody. Oh, that wine represents joy. That wine represents happiness. Hello, somebody. Are you happy or are you miserable? If you're miserable, you're probably not following the apostles' teaching. Hello, somebody. Oh, the apostles' teaching. And it's not that prosperity gospel that you hear on the television telling you that we're all supposed to be rich. No, that's not apostles' teaching. Oh, can anybody tell me what Jesus' address was? What house did Jesus live in? Jesus said something about his living quarters. What did he say?
The foxes.
The foxes what?
And
the birds have what? But what?
Nowhere
to lay his head. And you got folks saying, oh, that you're supposed to be rich. You're supposed to be living in a mansion. You're supposed to be driving a Beamer. You're supposed to be doing all this. And then let you think that there's something wrong with you if you don't have financial blessing. That's a lie from the pit of hell.
Amen.
Hello, somebody.
Amen.
You bet. Oh, yeah, go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise up in here. Up in here, up in here. We got folks on television. They got yachts. They got boats. They got helicopters. They got all this stuff. And folk are coming out to God because they think they're supposed to be rich or because they want to be rich.
Come on.
And what did Jesus have? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Oh, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Oh, and they didn't have this name it and claim it, this blab it and grab it, this declare it and share it kind of stuff that was going on.
Right.
Hello, somebody. Yep. This is madness.
Right.
Hello, somebody. And God has called us to devote ourselves to the word, to the book. Oh, not what mom and them said.
Oh.
Hello, somebody. Because sometimes mom and them got tub wrong.
Right.
Hello, somebody. It's not about mama. It's about my Lord. And when it comes to my Lord and my mama, guess what? Mama got to lose.
Right.
Hello, somebody.
Right.
Am I right about it?
Right. Type
hello, somebody.
Type
I don't
right.
care. There's some stuff that my mama never believed in. Oh, they believed in ghosts. Hello, somebody. I don't see ghosts in the book.
All right.
Hello, somebody.
No,
why I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. They put all this stuff on us, but you got to devote yourself to the apostles' teaching. Hello, somebody. And when you get taught, you get set free. When you get taught, you get delivered. When you get taught, you can walk.
Uh-oh.
Oh, in places other folk can't walk. Hello, somebody.
Man.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody.
I know I'm right about it. Matthew 20 and 28 and 20 says, and what? Teaching them to what? Obey what? To obey everything I have what? Commanded you. Hello, somebody. As a matter of fact, when you teach them to obey everything I commanded you, then you have my presence. For it says, for surely I am with you always to the very what? End of the age. And that's why we got to teach folk in the church to obey. We just can't let folk live any kind of way. Not to say that some of us won't slip up and fall, but we got to let them know, oh, that you got to be holy. Hello, somebody. You got to live right. Hello, somebody. If you name the name of Jesus, he changes your life altogether. Hello, somebody. If I had not come in contact with Jesus, I'd been like my daddy, and my daddy was a rolling stone. Hello, somebody. Right. Hello, somebody. My daddy, oh, he wasn't a good example of true manhood. He wasn't faithful to one woman. As a matter of fact, he never married. Hello, somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And was living with folk, living with women all of his life. But when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, guess what? I got a new daddy. Right. Hello, somebody. Right. And my new daddy wouldn't let me live with women. Hello, somebody. As a matter of fact, my new daddy wouldn't let me sleep with women unless what? I got married.
All right. Somebody. All right.
His standard never changed. And we got to teach people to obey. We got to do this, church. Oh, if we want to have a good example in the community. Oh, you know how your folk are living.
Right.
Hello, somebody.
Help us, help us.
And you need to go to them in private and say, hey, this is not right. This is not the way that God says that you should live.
Right.
Hello, somebody.
That was real. Help.
Hello, somebody.
Yes, sir.
Hello, somebody. Hello, teaching.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Teach it, Rev.
Teaching them to obey.
Yeah.
The apostles' teaching. I am not my own.
Right.
Hello, somebody. I've been bought with a price.
Yeah.
And as a result, because I'm not my own, I can't live the way I want to live in the flesh.
Yeah.
I've got to live the way God tells me to live as a holy man of God. I have to be holy.
Yeah.
Say to your neighbor, neighbor,
neighbor.
You have to be holy.
You have to be holy.
Hello, somebody. That's why we have this motto. We got to live it before we can give it.
Right.
Hello, somebody. We got to live it before we can give it.
Yes, Lord.
Hello, somebody.
Right, man.
It messes up your message if you're not living it.
All right.
I've heard folks say of some preachers that cut the food or played the Judas. And I heard him say he was telling me to love my wife like Christ loved the church, but he winded up leaving his wife.
Well,
hello, somebody. What happened to the love? Hello, somebody.
All right.
Hello, somebody. And there's nowhere in the Bible where God gives a man an option to leave.
Right.
I don't care who you are.
All right.
Help Israel. Let me say that again.
Amen.
Oh, cause some brothers thinking, oh, the Lord knows how I feel. Oh, she ain't treating me right. Oh, Reverend, you just don't know. I'm about to leave her, Reverend. The Lord wants me to be happy.
Amen.
Guess what? The Lord don't want you to be happy. He wants you to be holy.
Yeah. That's good. Amen. That's good.
Oh, that should have got a
hand. That's good. Yeah, that's good.
God ain't concerned about your happiness.
Holiness.
Concerned about your holiness.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
It's good, Rev. Right.
Hello, somebody. That's what talking Christians getting messed up and ain't been taught. You want to feel your way through Christianity.
That's right.
Woo.
Lord, help.
Hello, somebody. Christianity ain't no good feeling.
Right.
You think Christ was feeling good when he was crucified on the cross?
No.
He was feeling good then?
No.
But he was committed.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Right.
That's what we need today, folks who are committed to the apostles' teaching and say, I'm going to die. I'm going to live by it. I'm going to die by it. And I'd rather obey to be unhappy than to not obey to be happy.
All right. Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Say it again.
Because ultimately, God, right here,
The writer say that I've never seen a righteous forsaken. Yeah. You're their seed begging bread. Oh, it might not feel right now, but in the end, it's going to pay off in the end. And that's why I make a decision to obey his word, even when it don't feel right.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Single brothers, it don't feel right for you to live holy, do it. Hello, somebody. Hello. You say, no, Reverend, it don't feel right. It feel right to do the wrong thing.
Lord help.
We have blues song saying, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. That's a lie from a pit of hell. Right. If loving you is wrong, then it's wrong and I need to repent and turn from my wicked way. Somebody. We've got to be faithful to the apostles' teaching of holiness and get rid of all that blabbing and grabbing. Hello, somebody. He said, preacher, you know, I'm preached that enough. Won't you move on? It's hot in here.
Stay right there.
My Lord. It was the apostles' teaching, because all that other teaching, the Pharisees' teaching and the Sadducees' teaching, was wrong, mixed up, had some good parts. But if they were a Sadducee, they couldn't even be Christian.
If they follow their teaching.
Hello, somebody. And that's why I talk about this charismatic chaos. And when preaching this text, we got some sets of folk in our religion who think that we're not saved because we don't speak in tongues. And they're doing the very thing, the very opposite of what tongues really mean. Tongues was meant to get folk saved, not to unsave them.
Come on. Somebody get that on the way home.
Right, all right. That's good.
Get that on the way home.
That's good.
Satanic. Hello, somebody. The very gifts that folk got saved with. Oh, folk are taking a day trying to get folk unsaved.
Hello.
Come talking about, you got to do this if you feel with the Spirit. You got to do this. Hello, somebody. They don't tell you about these were actual languages, and this is actual witnessing. And if you're truly filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to witness.
Yeah.
You're going to be concerned about getting folks saved, not getting folk unsaved.
Amen.
Right.
Hello, somebody. Somebody get that on the way home. Let me move on. Follow the apostles' teaching. A growing church, by the way. There's a church that should teach. And not only that, a growing church should be a church that should be together. Mm-hmm. Not only did they have the apostles' teaching, but it says, and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread.
All right.
And to fellowship and to the breaking of bread. Now, if you've been around a long time, when some folk got this out of kilter. Some folk get so much word that they don't want a fellowship.
Come on.
Yeah. Because they think they're it. They got the market corner on the word of God. Ain't going nowhere else. Ain't listening to nobody else. Ain't fellowshipping with nobody else.
Right.
And then you become kind of coaches. Hello, somebody. Because that's all you can do is what's going on here, because we got good teaching.
Say it, Ray.
Hello, somebody. No. A good representation of a church that is growing is a church that can fellowship.
All right.
Ooh, let me say that. Somebody got messed up. A church that can fellowship. What it look like, I don't want to be around other Christians.
Something wrong.
It looked like.
All right.
When I was in the world and I was doing bad things, I wanted to be around other people that were doing bad things.
Right.
But now you get in the church and you can't fellowship. You can't go to a 3 o'clock service. Now I'm really meddling now. You can't be a part of an association. We had our association last week. I they ain't got time for all that. They ain't got nothing that I can benefit from. Mm.
All right.
Help somebody. You can't. Be a part of a state, or you can't be a part of that. Them folk are all of them wrong.
Hello, somebody. No. All of them ain't wrong.
The Lord won't let me.
The Lord won't let me leave those places, even though I get grieved many times. And he told me why I couldn't not fellowship is because he needed somebody who was really represented him to be a part of these organizations. Hello, somebody. Because if bad is doing all, good will be conquered.
All right.
Hello, somebody. Let me say that again.
Say it again, man.
If there is no alternative, hello, somebody. Is there no alternative? Hello, somebody.
All right.
Then the wicked will always flourish. Hello, somebody. And that's what they say would happen in the school system. The Christians left the school system. Hello, somebody. They say that happened at all of our institutions. When we left, the devil took over. When we left politics, the devil took over. And we got folk who play like they're Christians that come here and say, hey, vote for me. I'm really a Christian. Get up there and do what they want to do. Hello, somebody.
Right.
And perpetuate lifestyles that the Bible warns us against.
All right.
Wait a minute. If you are a Christian, you're not sitting there in politics to share your views on things. If you're a Christian, you're there to represent light. If you're a Christian, you're there to give light to dark situations.
All right.
Hello, somebody. Not to get there and compromise.
All right.
Hello, somebody. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
But to fellowship. Now I'll tell you, I know it's hard sometimes. Because there's something happened to me in my first pastorate. At the beginning stages, before God used me to really clean the church up, I used to hate going to church.
All right, Rhea.
And it was the church that I pastored.
All right, been there.
Ooh, that's deep, isn't it?
Been there, man.
Look at his face. What his face look like? Yeah.
Yeah, man. Been there.
Ooh. I used to hate going to church because it was the church that I passed it.
Uh-huh.
What was there a problem? We were teaching the word. That was issue with fellowship.
Yeah.
The folk couldn't get along.
Come on,
my Lord.
Hello, somebody. How can you say that you're a spirit-filled church and the people in the church can't get along?
Amen.
There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with the fellowship.
Yeah.
And I was upset with the Lord. I was like, Lord, why are you giving this church? You should have made it easier. This is my first church, Lord. I should have got this church 30 years in, and I've been more patient. He said, I have to use you. Tell us something. To be light in a dark situation. And you've got to continue to be a part of the fellowship. Because your presence in the fellowship will change the fellowship. Hello, somebody. Your light in the fellowship will change the fellowship.
Yeah.
And that's why good folk need to be as many places as God send us.
Right.
Hello, somebody.
Thank you.
Because we change the environment.
Yeah.
Man.
Where light exists, darkness cannot exist.
Right. You gotta go.
Hello, somebody. You
gotta leave.
People think light is weak. Light ain't weak. Light is aggressive.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. It
takes over.
It takes over. Darkness cannot exist where light
is. Right. You gotta go.
I think I heard a commercial. I may be exaggerating and not hearing right, but I think it said that you could see a glimmer in the darkness, a glimmer of light 10 miles away.
That's what it said.
Hello, somebody, with light.
That's
hello, somebody. Oh, that's what the fellowship is about. And good folk want to quit.
That
gets on my nerves. Hello, somebody.
All right.
Now the bad folk gonna be here every Sunday.
Yeah.
On the front row.
Yeah.
Every Sunday when the doors open, they gonna be up in here.
Yeah.
They gonna be here.
You're going to show up over there.
Never miss Sunday school. You don't ever miss morning service.
But those who are supposed to be light are the ones that's missing.
Woo.
They give up.
Yeah.
That's why Mark, Paul had a problem with Mark, because Mark gave up on that first journey.
Yeah.
He got mad.
Yes, he did. Sure did.
How in the world can we survive if good folk give up?
I know some of y'all like that scandal. Y'all like scandal, don't you?
Scandal.
All scandal. Liv sometimes have an issue, and whether she's wearing the white hat or the black hat. Hello, somebody. That's how it is in our culture, in our society. Good guys have to have a little bad in them to take care of the bad. Now let me say that again.
Say it again, Ray.
The sheriff has to carry the same gun that the bad guys did to clean up the town. Hello, somebody. But good folk are folk that should show up in the fellowship. Good folk should change the environment. Good folk know that their weapons are not of this world. Hello, somebody. Their weapons are spiritual weapons.
Yeah.
And spiritual weapons can change your church, can change your community, can change your school, can change the government.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Give God a hand to the praise.
Hey.
I need you to fellowship with other believers, because you being there will help them out. I'll use this illustration, go on to the next. When I was young, and the reason I had to leave, the Lord probably had me leave my home church that I was in,
mm-hmm.
and go to Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, was not only the Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship teach the word,
amen.
But there was fellowship for me there.
Yeah.
There were other people my age living for the Lord.
All right.
And that encouraged me just to be around them.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. And we weren't always in a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
We did other activities, and we were fellowshipping with one another. And that helped me to grow spiritually, because I seen other folk like me living for the Lord.
All right. Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Hello, that fellow. That's fellowship, and that encouraging. What is the devil's rule? Main rule. We heard this morning about him. He told God tell us to be in Sunday school to be sober.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody. Well, it's to destroy. But what is his main tool that he used to destroy? I heard somebody says He lets everybody get together and come together.
Divide and conquer! And we got Christian folk who think they can live their Christian life outside of the body of Christ. And God has them defeated, or the devil has them defeated out there, because they're not amongst the fellowship.
All right.
Hello, somebody.
That's good.
You can say what you want about any church, because there are no perfect churches. The church is like a hospital. Hello, somebody. We're all sick up in here.
All right.
Hello, somebody. But like in a hospital, we should be getting better.
Right.
Hello, somebody. That's the difference between a member and a disciple, because disciples get better.
Yeah. All right.
Hello, somebody.
Amen. Get to prescription. Take the mess.
We need to be a part of one another's life.
Amen.
We need to fellowship. We need to hang out together. It ain't always got to be a Bible study. Hello, somebody. Just hang out.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Together.
Yeah.
And when you got folk that don't want to hang out together, then that's a problem. In the church?
Well.
You don't want to hang out in the church? In the world, you hung out every Saturday night at the club.
Hello, somebody.
You were fellowshipping in the world.
Hello, somebody. He said, move on, preacher, this fellowship a little harder than I thought it should be.
Stay right there.
But each day, and then this, again, this is characteristics of a growing church. Not a dead church, a growing church.
Growing church.
And a church can't grow without fellowship.
All right.
We don't like being around each other. We fighting each other, mad, cutting our eyes.
Ooh.
You think God going to add somebody saved to that?
Lord help.
Tell somebody. But it says in Acts 2:46, every day they continue to what? Meet together in the temple. They didn't have a problem with church back then. Mama and them, grandmama and them, they used to love being in church.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, Sundays they were in church all day.
Right.
All day.
Right.
Hello, somebody. Some of us with that drug problem, or you were drugged in the church.
Yeah.
Drugged to Sunday school, drugged to 11 o'clock.
Get missed.
Drugged to a 3 o'clock service, drugged to BTU, drugged to Sunday night service, drugged to usher meeting on Tuesday, drugged to crowd rehearsal on Wednesday, drugged. Hello, somebody.
Getting missed.
Hello, somebody.
All right. Witness.
They just love being. I won't leave that alone. The people who love God love to be in church. They love to be together.
He said something earlier.
And the paradigm shift in our world today is we don't want to be in church that long, preacher.
You're right, Rev.
1 hour is all we need.
That's what most churches.
I want to praise
the
Lord.
I don't need to be in church all day, all the time, Reverend. Come on now, Reverend. I can't follow you everywhere in the district. You go. You be in church too much, Reverend.
Too long.
I got better things to do with my life.
Praying and preaching. Too much praying and preaching.
Then amongst the fellowship of believers. Woo. Hello, somebody.
Believe.
I said, boy, and I get a little mad because I said, boy, you know, in a football game when it goes overtime, we have
hey,
get some more chips and have them be hoorah and want our team to win in overtime. But let the preacher go over.
Some
of y'all think about remember last week's sermon was a lot shorter than this week's sermon.
Preach it.
I was saving up time. Thank you. But they love to be together in the fellowship amongst believers, and we've lost that only 1 hour a week. And for most of us Baptists, 2 hours a week. We're done with. We don't need to be around them people all that time. Hello, somebody.
Every day.
Hello, somebody. Every day. We used to call that revival.
Yeah.
Now we can't get folk to come back to a revival. Some of the older preachers said, boy, we used to have revivals that used to last up to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Now we're lucky to get folk to come back 3 days. Can't get everybody to come back for 3 days.
Come on,
dog. Hello, somebody. Just the remnant, those who will be here. Hello, somebody. That's fellowship. That's real, isn't it?
It's real, man.
We should be together. They broke bread in their houses and ate together. With what? With glad and sincere hearts. Mm. Wow, what a church.
Wow.
Because sometimes, even when we get together, folks just complaining all the time. Hey, Reverend, did you see what such did this Sunday? You see old such, she didn't even hit that note. That note was so off. I don't mean the metal choir. Just getting together, complaining and nagging and... Come on now, church!
Let's go.
Well, I haven't been here too long. Let me move on. Y'all be quiet on that.
Help us, man. Help us.
We should be together. We should want to be together.
Man.
Lastly, but not least, and you've heard me harp on this all of my ministry, the church should talk to God. What they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They fellowship and breaking of bread and to prayer.
In our culture, in our time, the churches that are quote unquote growing the fastest have taken out the altar of prayer.
Oh, now wait a minute, the altar of prayer maybe lasts 5 to 20 minutes. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of what?
Prayer.
Praise?
Prayer.
Hello. He said, evidently that was important to Jesus. My house shall be called a house of worship?
No, prayer.
A house of praise. Now, all that is good, but it just ain't what it said. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer.
It's in the book.
Hello, somebody. And by prayer, we tap into the power of God.
Yeah.
And that's why many of our churches said they don't have no power because they don't have no prayer.
All right. No prayer, no power.
What's that quote? I think you said your grandpa, you say, go ahead.
No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what they did. They were giving themselves prayer. Are we a praying church?
My Lord. Lord,
help somebody.
Yep, tell us.
Remember I told you before, we're going to have to figure out what we do good. And I know what we do good. Can anybody guess what we do good? What do we do good? Somebody say eat. Eat. Yeah, we eat. We don't eat enough, though. That's just my opinion. What do we do good? Between teaching, praying, and fellowship, what do we do good? Somebody know the answer. Teaching! Hello! Teaching!
Yeah.
They do that excellently.
Yeah, y'all come.
Sunday school, anywhere you want to be on this campus, anytime, teaching is done at here. Hell's enough. Yeah, always have.
Yeah.
I've met some of the preachers y'all have had in the past and been very impressed. I'm like, boy, them guys, some tough guys. Bethlehem ain't never had nobody who couldn't preach and teach the word of God.
Right.
Hello, somebody.
Right.
I don't care what you say.
Right.
I met some of them.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And if they had issues, it wasn't that issue. That wasn't the issue.
Right.
Hello, somebody. Okay. So, how are we doing in fellowship? You think we could do better?
Amen.
I think we could do better in fellowship. Yeah, we could do better in fellowship. We're going to pray that God will enable us to do. And prayer. What about prayer? You think we can do better in prayer?
Amen. We can do better.
We can do better. As a matter of fact, this Wednesday has been set apart for us to fast and pray.
Yes, right.
Hello, somebody.
Yes, sir.
Let me say it again. This Wednesday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. has been set apart for us to fast and pray our 10 most wanted. And my desire is that every disciple in this church, will tap into the power of God. And we've seen him work. We've seen miracles happen when we begin to put the main thing. But we've got to continue to keep the main thing. And we've got to continue to pray. Hello, somebody. Continue to pray. What do they do in Acts 1:14?
Pray.
They all joined together what?
Constantly.
In prayer.
One time?
Alone.
Daily.
Constantly.
Constantly.
And prayer. Matter of fact, I heard testimony about some of the women of the community used to have prayer meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Wasn't even here. It was in the community. Hello, somebody. They prayed. Hello, somebody. And God worked. And that's what we've got to do as a church.
Amen.
Deacons, will you come? All heads bowed.
Saints a pray. All heads bowed, saints are praying. And that's why at this time we asked you to pray. Because right now, the devil don't want nobody to get saved.
Right.
He wants you to be distracted. He don't want you to pray. The devil don't want nobody to respond to the word of God. That's why I say during this time, saints, pray.
Yeah.
Because we're fighting for the souls of men and women. Saints, pray right now. Pray that if there's somebody in this place that needs to be saved, that they may get saved. Pray. There's somebody in this church that needs to respond to the word of God. Pray. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And if you're here today and you don't ever remember a time where you gave your life to Jesus Christ, if you don't ever remember a time where you believe that Jesus died for your sins and was buried and raised again on the third day, then today you can be saved. As the music plays, the saints are still praying. Is there one today that needs to get right with God? Do you need to be saved? Is God trying to add you to our church? I want to thank you for listening today, and we want to take this opportunity to describe the ABCs of salvation. The A of salvation is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The B of salvation is believe in your heart. And the C of salvation is to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can do those three things today, then you can be saved. If you can believe that Jesus Christ is God's only Son, that he died for your sins and was buried and raised again on the third day, then today you can be saved. And you can pray a simple prayer of salvation and just ask God into your heart to accept, believe, and confess today, and you will be saved. You pray a prayer of salvation. We want you to become a part of a church home. If you're anywhere near Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, we want to see you at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. We want to thank you for listening. Bless you. Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. We want to once again thank you for listening today. We want to encourage you to go out and pick up my book and workbook entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. You can pick it up at Amazon.com. The Secret to Your Best Life, the book and the workbook. If you'd like to save a little money, you can get both the book and workbook on Kindle. Again, it's entitled The Secret to Your Best Life, and you can pick it up at Amazon.com, or you can order it at any major bookstore. Pick up copies for yourself and send a copy to a family member or a friend. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you and keep you is my prayer.